Hello, this is Dr. Ed Hill, the host of This Week in the Word, where we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God and our walk with Christ. I'm glad you joined us for this episode of This Week in the Word at dredhill.podbean.com. Today's episode is entitled Complete in Christ, Episode 10, Dress for Success, Part 1, What to Take Off. This is the episode for Sunday, March 24th, 2024. So far in our series in the book of Colossians, we have learned several major things. Jesus Christ is supreme. Jesus Christ is in the Christian, and the Christian is in Jesus Christ. What we're going to start to see today is that the Christian should and can live a new life with Christ living through them. We'll see in chapter 3 that there's a sharp, sudden change from what has been talked about in Colossians chapters 1 and 2. And we're going to see that doctrine, which we learned about in chapters 1 and 2, doctrine shapes our duty. Beliefs guide our behavior. Theology dictates our morality. Now, you know what? If these are not true in your life, but you're pretty sure you're a Christian, then they can start to be as you let Jesus live through you. But if you know that you're not a Christian, or you have severe doubts that you're a Christian, and these things do not characterize your life, things like we're going to see today, next week, then it may be that you need to actually come to Jesus Christ and trust Him personally as your Savior and Lord. Now, I can never sort this out for each one of you, but the Lord wants you to know more than you want to know. All right, let's go to Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11. And actually, we're going to read all the way through verse 14. So really, Colossians 3, verses 5 through 14. But as is often true with me, there's even more. We're going to start where we started last week without a lot of comment, just so that this flows like it did when it was heard, when it was read to the church in Colossae. Now, if you need to know more about verses 1 through 4 in Colossians 3 that we're about to read initially, go back and listen to last week's episode, episode number 9. All right, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to the New American Standard. I've been reading out of the King James Version, but I want to read verses 5 through 11 only. I want to read those from the New American Standard. I want you to listen carefully to how this is translated. Therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also rid yourselves of all of them: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene speech from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, or to one another, since you stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. Now, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to read to you from the Mount's Greek interlinear translation. Therefore, put to death whatever is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And in them, you also once walked when you were living among them. But now, you must put away all those things, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy talk from your mouth. Stop lying to one another, since you have put off the old man with its practices and have put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. All right, hopefully from reading the New American Standard and the Greek translation there, you have a better idea of what we read in the King James. But let's go back to the King James Version, Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members. You know what this means? Put your earthly body parts, your whole earthly body, put it to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, what is that? That's sexual immorality. I don't even have to explain that, I hope. But these are things that we are to put off, what to take off. If you want to dress for success, I mean, if you wanted to literally do that in terms of dressing better, you know, in this world, you'd have to get rid of the sweatshirt you wear everywhere, right? You'd have to maybe buy some new clothes that aren't old and dirty and torn up and worn out looking, right? So you want to take off some things in order to put on some things, right? The new clothing that you're going to buy. I'll give you an example with myself. I'm bad about wearing out shoes, and especially pants and all of my clothes. I wear them long past the time that I should. And I've realized I don't have to do that. God has blessed me and I can buy new things sometimes, all right? So I need to be more careful about that, because I'm an ambassador for Christ, right? And I don't need people looking down on me because I don't even make an effort to dress in a presentable way. Does that make sense? So I've become more conscious that even how I actually literally dress every day, has an impact on people. So I've tried to be more careful about that. But we're talking about our spiritual dress. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, so that's sexual immorality, and uncleanness. Now, what does this word mean? Well, it's just simply being impure. So in the Greek, the sexual immorality is the Greek word porneia, which, guess what it means? Sexual immorality. That's where we get the word fornication from. And that's all types. The impurity is akatharsia. Say, that Greek word sounds familiar. Well, catharsis is to cleanse, right? A catheter helps you get fluids out of where you need to get them out of, all right? This idea of impurity means something that's just not clean. And it's sort of like one of the Supreme Court justices said one time when a pornography case was before the Supreme Court, you know, decades ago. He said, while I can't define pornography, I'm pretty sure I know it when I see it. And he said, you know, it's hard to explain everything, but we all know what we're talking about. And then the word lust, pathos is the Greek word, and that's a desire, and it's often a sexual desire, but it can be many other types of desires too. And then evil desire, what is that here? So for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. This is a desire that just consumes you, and it ruins your life. So these are things that have got to go, right? Then he mentions an interesting thing. You say, I don't see how this flows in what we've been seeing so far. Because like it says in the New American Standard, therefore treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. Like, that just doesn't seem to fit. But if God put it there, trust me, it fits. And he says this greed, in New American Standard, greed which amounts to idolatry. So the idea here is that, you know, somebody involved in idol worship is worshiping an idol. If someone is greedy, that means they're overreaching. Like, they'll do anything to make another dollar. They'll do anything to save another penny, you know, or take it from somebody. It's just that whole idea that's got to have it, you know, even if it's taking it from other people. That idea of covetousness is a greed, and the Bible says here that that person's worshiping an idol, and their idol is money and the things money can buy. You know people like that? I hope you don't, but probably you and I do. That's wrong. That should never characterize a Christian. And if you say, well, that's the way I am, and I think it's okay, you're wrong, sir. You're wrong, ma'am. Because if you say you're a Christian, that cannot be descriptive of your life. If it is, you should repent, because you are worshiping the idol of wealth, money, things, materialism. You have greed or covetousness. That's as bad as sexual immorality, just being a filthy, unclean person, having desires that override you and ruin your life and the lives of others. That covetousness is listed right here in this same flow of things that are over in that other realm. God puts this right there with them. It's just as serious. Man, if you're a miser, get over it in Christ. Repent of that. Say amen right here. So, in the King James, going back to that, Colossians 3, it says there, for which things sake, what's he talking about? Well, the fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, and which amounts to idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Oh, man. If I didn't have your attention before now, I hope I'm getting it now. Because, like it says in the Greek, because of these, the wrath, the orgy, that is the settled disposition of judgment. God may not judge now, but listen, his mind is already made up. And when the time comes, judgment is going to come because his mind is set on that. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. This is talking about the future when the Lord returns to the earth and judges mankind. Final judgment. And you know what? Some people face that in some regard. I mean, at least a tiny little bit of it when they die. But the ultimate judgment is at that last judgment. As people account for their ungodly lives. So, Pastor Ed, I love Jesus and I'm a Christian, and it bothers me to think about that. You will never stand before that judgment. Jesus took that judgment for you and me as Christians on the cross. We never will face that condemnation. But those who have refused to believe in Christ, never got around to believing in Christ, have put off believing in Christ, and they die without him as their Savior and Lord because they refuse to repent of their sin and trust him as their Savior, they will stand all alone without the aid and help of the Lord Jesus Christ, facing the judgment of God. So this judgment is coming. So if you weren't concerned yet about sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and covetousness, which amounts to idolatry, you might want to rethink that, because that is a really bad move on your part. This is serious, what we're talking about. But there is a way out, and it's Jesus Christ. And then he can give us the victory on a day-by-day basis as he lives his life in us and through us. And just because someone falls once doesn't mean that he writes you off. You know, we say, well, I have a besetting sin and I battle that. I can't answer all of that for you. But I'm telling you, he knows your heart. And when we sin, when we acknowledge that and repent, he continues with us. But if these things characterize your life and you're proud of it, and you don't care about it, that's a whole nother thing, baby. And you've got to look at your life in the light of God's word. Because verse 6 says, for which things sake, the wrath of God cometh or is coming on the children of disobedience. That idea of the children of disobedience is the sons of disobedience. And you know what? They just completely, intentionally disobey what God says. They don't want to be accountable. They like their life of sin and they don't care. Hey, guess what? Judgment is coming on the sons of disobedience. You know what? We're starting to see that more and more today. And one thing I'm going to mention, you're going to say, are you kidding me? You're pointing this out. But I just think it's two things. It's an example of people who openly walk into stores and shoplift and basically rob the stores and walk out with no conscience of any kind about that and no fear of prosecution in a lot of places. I fear to think where that's taking our country, because I think there's going to be a backlash and it's going to be an ugly one when it comes. But the other thing I bring up is something that it may not be brand new, but I've only heard of it in the last few months. And that's these, I think they're called burnouts or, you know, taking over an intersection where cars all descend on one intersection. They do wheelies and donuts and stuff in the middle of the intersection. And now the new things have set it on fire and they're ruining the street. And it's just a total mess. And talk about just being lawless and idiotic. There you have it. And you know what? Some of us were like that, and I never did that. But I mean, verse 7 acknowledges that. In the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. So when we lived in among the lost world as a lost person, we were open sinners too. Say amen right here. But you know what? When we met Jesus, these things began to change. Amen? And for a lot of people, they instantly change. In the which also ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, those two words, but now, you know what? They announce a change. This is not rocket science here, folks. Verse 8, but now ye also, you mean, well, what do you mean, but now? Because we've become a Christian. We are followers of Christ, though imperfectly. But now ye also put off, that means like we go into, let's say a man goes into a suit store, a men's clothing store. Let's say he wears one set of clothes in, obviously, in order to put on the new suit, you've got to take off the old, right? Ladies, same thing. When you go to a store and you're trying on dresses, you walk in with one dress or pantsuit on, got to take that off to put on the new. Same idea. But now, ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So let's look at these words here and learn just a little bit. We won't take a whole long time on them, but we just want to see these. So he says here, but now ye must put away. Now, these are things we've got to get out of our life, got to take these off, put these off like we're changing clothes. Put them away. All those, you know, so all this kind of stuff, anger, that orgy, that settled mind of like just I'm one angry person. I think some people get in their cars today, and I know the whole thing about people around here who drive are crazy. People have been saying that ever since people have been driving. That's not new. What is new is it appears to me since the pandemic, since about 2020, funny how they coincide, that a lot of people seem to be angry when they drive and they use their car as an expression of their anger. I mean, there have always been speeders and idiotic drivers. We get that. But something's different today. And I wonder if it's kind of like a demonstration of what we're talking about right here. So he says there, but now you must put away all those things. Anger, you know, that settled attitude of anger inside. It's internal and it's real and it's there. And in rage, so he talks about anger and wrath. Rage is where that anger boils up out of the person and overflows. So if we keep it in the example of driving, somebody gets in and buckles up, closes the door, and cranks the engine, they're already mad when they do that. Then they get out on the roadway and something doesn't go their way, or they don't like something they think somebody did or didn't do. And then you have incidences of road rage where cars are hit and weapons are fired and all of those kind of things. So that's a good example. Somebody's mad when they start out of their driveway. But the more they drive, the more they see that anger that inside just boils up and boils over like a boiling pot in a kitchen. And I think that would be a good way to think about that. They're mad when they crank the engine and it just boils out over everybody on the road. Then malice is just like, you ever heard the phrase bad to the bone? I think that would be a good example here of just being a person with malice in their heart. Like, I don't know who I'm going to hurt today, but I'm going to hurt somebody. You know, that attitude. Or if somebody they feel like does them wrong or doesn't respect them, you know, that whole routine. This attitude that you're going to kill them, literally, if somebody disrespects you. That's malice. Slander. That's saying something ugly or evil about someone. And then this is a great one here. I want to camp right here this minute. And filthy talk from your mouth. Woo! Pastor, did you have to go there? Yes, we did. We do have to go there. This is, like New American Standard says, obscene speech from your mouth. King James says, filthy communication out of your mouth. And then the Greek interlinear here says filthy talk from your mouth. If you're guilty of that, you're turning red right now. You're feeling a little ashamed right now. And you should, because if you're a Christian, this is not the Lord speaking through you. This is your flesh, that flesh nature, okay? This needs to be stopped immediately and repented of. I want to tell you something. I'm not a cusser. We all get angry. Sometimes we think things that aren't right and we shouldn't say them. My parents were not people who used a lot of profanity. I mean, certainly nothing like today. And I'm just shocked at how people talk. And it's usually the women, but the men aren't any better, right? It's shocking. And I want to say to you as a pastor, a pastor for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you say you're a Christian, your speech should not be, I can't even say the words, but you know words I'm thinking of. Some people that you know cannot finish a sentence without certain words. This should not characterize the talk of a Christian. So, Pastor Ed, I think I'm saved, but that does characterize me. You need to get with you and the Lord, let Him tell you whether you're born again or not. You may be, but I want to point this out. The things that are being said in this letter are being said to true believers in Christ, the church at Colossae. But these things were seen in their lives, and Paul says, you're Christians. This way of living and this way of talking is not right. So it could be that you're a Christian, but man, woman, you need to bring your speech under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ, or shut up because you're a terrible ambassador for Him. Do one of those two things. But it is not okay to continue with filthy talk, profanity coming out of your mouth. You know, my dad taught me once that people use profanity because they have a limited vocabulary, meaning they're morons and they can't learn other ways to express themselves. That's the way I took it anyway. Don't be like that. Don't do it. Make no excuses for it. Oh, this is just so wrong. Harry Ironside was pastor of Moody Memorial Church of Chicago for many years, a great Bible teacher and evangelist. He said this, once I heard someone begin a story with the remark, as there are no ladies here, I want to tell you something I heard the other day. Another gentleman in the group checked him with a wise answer. Brother, though there are no ladies present, the Holy Ghost is here. Is your story fit for Him? The first man blushed in confusion and accepted the rebuke. We did not hear the story. Say amen. Wow. Listen, we're to put all of this stuff away from us. It means the idea of something, we're putting it out of its normal location, like way out of the way. The same word used to be used of Greek runners in the Olympic Games who cast off their clothes almost to the point, maybe even to the point, I think some people say, of being virtually naked in their running. Now, that's a little extreme, but the point is, the reason they did that was because they felt like the clothing, the togas or whatever, kept them from running their fastest. We need to get off of our lives anything that slows us down for Jesus. Once during the Civil War, there was a soldier in the Civil War who happened to be with his army, but he was actually near where his home was. That has to be a weird feeling. And he told his wife to bring him a new set of clothes. And she did. She brought him to the camp. And he went out somewhere away from the camp, took off all of his old clothes because they were filled with lice and his body was covered with lice. And he told her to bring a can of kerosene, which she did. And he doused himself with kerosene to kill the lice and poured it on the clothes and burnt the clothes and put on the new clothes that she had brought. Say, wow, what an illustration. Well, it actually happened. That's pretty much what we need to do with our old life. The things, the way we used to behave and the way we used to talk. It's just got to be pulled off of our life and burnt, never to be gone back to. Think about all of the profanity and crude language we hear today in obviously movies and even on primetime television. But man, a lot of, I use this word loosely, music, especially rap, but not limited to that, but especially so with rap and hip hop, is just so crude and vulgar, so profane. If you're a Christian and that's what you're pumping in your brain, I can pretty much tell you what's coming out of your lips and out of your life. So, oh no, I just listened to it. It doesn't have any influence on me. Oh yeah? You don't think it's creating anger inside of you that boils over into rage? Because that's what a lot of music, especially rap, I heard some the other day and I thought, like, holy cow. How can somebody walk with Christ if that's what they're listening to? It can't be done, I don't think. This kind of profanity, curse words, swear words, and all of that, say, you are such a fuddy-duddy and a Puritan. You know what? I was raised in an age where, believe it or not, this was, not saying it never happened, but it wasn't like it is today. You just have to trust me on that. And it's not good, but even if the world's going to do that, that should not characterize the life and the speech of a Christian. All right, we're not done. We've got a few more verses. So we saw, but now put ye also off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. And as we saw in the Greek, is stop lying. So this is something that the Colossian church, some of them were doing. It's not to say that they were all doing that, but there were some who were, for sure. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. And that idea of put off is to just strip it off violently, get it off of you, wear it no more. And this is so important. We have to be truthful with one another. Now, don't go to the other extreme of saying, well, I'm just a truth teller and telling everybody all. That's not, don't go that way. But lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and what to put on, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know what? When you become born again, you become a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes into your life, these things, you're not going to be able to do them and not have conviction of sin. And He will bring you under conviction. Probably that's happening for some right now, saying, like, how did Pastor Ed know all of this about me? I don't know it. But the Holy Spirit knows, and he may be convicting you that your behavior and your language have just got to come in conformity with who you are in Christ. And just as we've taken things off, we've got to put on something. That's the new man. And we put it on like we would put on that new suit or that new dress. We just do it and we wear it. Christ actually really does this for us, but we have to cooperate with Him. Amen? So, we're going to stop there, and next week we'll go to part two of Dress for Success. We've seen what to put off or take off, but we're going to concentrate on what to put on next week to dress for success. All right, listen, I'm glad you made it this far in this episode, and I want to give you a phone number because some of you are having doubts about your salvation because you're seeing all of these things in your life and you don't feel any conviction about it, or maybe for the first time ever you are. Maybe you're not sure you're a Christian, or you know you're not, and you need to become one. Maybe you have other spiritual questions. I'm going to give you a phone number. I'm going to say it two times. I want you to write it down. Whether you think you need to or not, write this down. 888-388-2683. One more time. 888-388-2683. If you'll call that number, you can get the spiritual help that you need. If you know you're lost and you need Christ, you could call that number. You can even cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, repenting of your sin and trusting Him as your Savior and Lord. I want you to do something for me. Like this episode. If you've never done this before, you only have to do it once. Follow the podcast. You just do that one time. And I want you to share this episode with someone right now. Be a missionary with me for Christ. All right, I'll be back next week with episode number 11 of Complete in Christ, Dress for Success, part 2, What to Put On. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.